A reading from Numbers. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping through throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. And then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a suckling child,' to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once, if I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran out and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." The word of the Lord.
And thanks be to God.
A reading from James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Mark. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly, I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Leaders and complainers. That's the way it was with the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness. Leaders and complainers. That's the way it was with Jesus' disciples as they headed toward Jerusalem. Leaders and complainers. After 37 years as a parish pastor, I'm confident to say that's the way it still is, and probably always will be. Leaders and complainers. And at some time or other, everyone probably winds up being both. The complainers in Moses' congregation of the Israelites were stunning. They completely rewrote their story about the way things used to be. The truth was, by the hand of God, Moses led them out of their slavery in Egypt. They had suffered terribly in Egypt under the Pharaoh. They had cried out to God in bitter anguish, and God had heard their cries. God sent signs and wonders and awesome plagues to convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. And finally, Pharaoh did. So the Israelites headed towards a whole new life. But then Pharaoh had a change of heart and decided to go after the Israelites to either bring them back or destroy them. But God caused the sea to part, and the Israelites passed through safely while the Egyptian army was drowned. God promised to lead the Israelites through Moses to a new land flowing with milk and honey. It wasn't long, however, before the complainers started their grumbling, as if God would not take care of them. Even after all the signs and wonders, the journey was too hard. The unknown was too scary. They were hungry. So God sent them miraculous food from heaven, called manna, that tasted like cakes baked in oil. But they wanted meat. And that's when they began to talk about the good old days. Their lives had been so good in Egypt. They always had plenty of yummy things to eat there. how lucky they had been to be slaves. Maybe they should just go back. It seems like their minds were perhaps set on human things and not divine things. The complainers around Jesus were often his own 12 disciples. They had witnessed Jesus doing all kinds of signs and wonders of God. They were headed towards a whole new life. Recall our gospel readings from the last few weeks with me, though. Jesus told the disciples that he was going to suffer and be killed and after 3 days rise from the dead. And Peter rebuked Jesus. And Jesus pointed out that Peter's complaint was the result of his interest in human things rather than divine things. True followers, Jesus said, would have to deny themselves and take up their own crosses. A few days later, Jesus told the disciples again that he was going to suffer and be killed and after 3 days rise from the dead. Once again, the disciples had no idea what Jesus was talking about, and they were afraid to ask him. So instead, they argued about who among them was going to be the greatest leader in Jesus' group. Jesus told them that being leaders for him meant that they would be last of all and servants of all. Then Jesus took a child in his arms and told the disciples that in welcoming the children, they would be welcoming him. But those future leaders were still complainers. John said to Jesus, "Well, we saw someone casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." Their complaint, no doubt, had to do with the fact that they had recently failed at casting out demons, while someone they didn't even know had been successful. And do notice that their complaint was because the other person wasn't following them. Not Jesus. Them. They apparently saw themselves as leaders. Complainers. Imagine someone complaining about things not being the way they used to be, or about changes, or the unknown future, or having to suffer, or the way someone else does something, or the way someone else leads. Can you imagine such a thing? I'm pretty sure you can. There have always been and always will be complainers among God's people. And at some time or other, you and I probably fall into that category. There have, however, always been and always will be leaders among God's people as well. Sometimes the leaders and the complainers are the same people. I love the description of Moses going to God to complain about and ask for help with the complainers. I identify with him just a bit. How is he supposed to manage all the people and all their needs? How far could he stretch himself as their leader? It was like he had to do everything. He was close to burnout. See, even great leaders are complainers from time to time. So God appointed 70 new leaders to carry some of the responsibility for the Israelites. even the complainers. And God anointed them with the Spirit. When the people saw Eldad and Medad also doing what the 70 had been appointed to do, they complained to Moses. And Moses replied, "For God's sake, don't stop them. We need all the help we can get." That's my personal translation. Which is pretty much what Jesus said to the 12 disciples when they complained about someone outside of the group casting out demons. He said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." If they were going to be leaders, they needed to worry about themselves and not make others stumble by their own words or actions or complaints. Leaders and complainers. That's the way it was with the Israelites as they wandered in the wilderness. Leaders and complainers. That's the way it was with Jesus' disciples as they headed toward Jerusalem. Leaders and complainers. After 37 years as a parish pastor, I'm confident to say that's the way it still is and probably always will be. Leaders and complainers. And at some time or other, everyone probably winds up being both. Which is not to say we can't choose which one we will be. Amen.